You know, honestly, without being pompous, I don't remember
anything. I don't remember what I do. You're our wildest fuck up. Hi everyone, this is Nikita and I have with me my co-host Sadgi, and we are very excited for another episode of Wild Tapes. In this episode, we have Mrinal with us, who has been a line producer, AD, production manager, and now producing herself. We get to learn more about what line producing is and how does being creative really helps in production. So let's hear her out.
Welcome to the episode, Mrinal. Thank you so much.
Hi guys.
So I want to begin by asking you the first question is, how did you break into the industry, specifically also because you know you come from advertising, that's why, how did you break into it?
So I started off actually as an AD, and I started off with this production house called Foot Candles, and I was kind of getting my feet there and was trying to figure out what I really wanted. I knew I wanted to get into production. I wanted to do production, but I wasn't sure back then when I started what exactly is production, what is direction, and the lines between the two of them. So I started off as an assistant director, and I found my way around. About a year and a half after doing working as an AD, I figured that, okay, maybe this is not something I'm attracted to. I'm more attracted towards what people in the production team do, what the producers do. And I did eventually start working towards that. And I started off small. I started off as a production assistant, production manager, then eventually started off working as a line producer. And now I have started working as a producer now. And wow. I do freelance. So whenever I'm available and when I work with certain companies, I do line produce still, but yeah, my background is many, many, many years of line production.
Okay. But what was it in, like, you know, with production that you were interested in? Because, you know, as directors, we have a goal of, okay, maybe we want to be a director, but as why production? Because production does not really... It's not very creative. It has its own, you know, sides to it, but it's not so creative. It's very logistical. So what was it about production that you were interested in?
I was always a logistical person. Even back in college, when we had a lot of festivals, I would end up being the logistical side of managing things, coordinating with people, managing budgets, ensuring things are done within budgets. I would do that even back in college. So especially when I started working in ads, I figured that is where my forte lies. And I figured that very early, actually, in college, and which is why I actually wanted to start off in production. But once I figured the whole process of what is it that an AD does and what is it that the production team does, I knew that my forte lied in the production side of it and not in the direction side of it and not necessarily in the creative side of it, even though yes, the creative suggestions, and I was always a part of everything that is related to creative. I still am, in fact. As a line producer, I am still a part of a lot of meetings that go on for the creative part of it, but my forte lies in managing productions, managing people, managing budgets.
That's a great thing, sorry, that you mentioned, actually, because one of the things that I have noticed with line producers also is that the moment the line producer has a better understanding of script, right, creatively, it really helps because they only filter out, suppose, the locations that they are getting. So the kind of people that you hire, the kind of people that you suggest to work in the team. So you automatically know the kind of creative work that is required for that script. I think that's absolutely a very, very brilliant point that you've mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to kind of understand. I mean, when I was an AD, I would see a lot of line producers come in and share locations and recommend people who are really not up to the brief for that particular script. And that's very important to kind of understand whether, okay, this kind of script needs this kind of detailing. So maybe this HOD is more apt for this script, or this production designer or DOP would work better in this. this DOP would work better in shooting exterior shots. This one would be a better fit. Even though most people do understand that, it's a little bit of being involved in the creative aspects. And since I am from a direction background, I understand and I'm involved a little more. I guess it helps me in that way. I understand. I think more from a direction perspective and from a production perspective, rather than only thinking that, okay, whether it's going to work in terms of budgets or whether it's going to work in terms of timelines. So having that direction background really rounds me off in a way where I understand what the AD team is thinking, and I also know what I need to think and
I also think that that's because, you know, a lot of these times, you know, there was this producer that we were working with long back, and every time we were shooting an ad, I've worked with him for some time, and I realized every time something was like CG kar dete, and then the director would freak out. She was like, nahi, CG nahi kar sakte sab cheezon mein. You know, these little understanding of things also, that everything is not about budget also. Like, there is this down. And I think in Indian industry, especially in ads, there is no place for like a creative producer. So
there isn't, because your direction team becomes kind of your creative team. Yeah. And your producer then actually needs to also be the creative producer, if at all your director looks at you for that aspect. Otherwise, a producer ends up being a logistical point of contact between your agency and your HODs and your direction department and your director. But yeah, there are many producers who are actually very, very creatively inclined and do offer some really good suggestions and think of both creative and logistical aspects before coming up to a conclusion, rather than just writing a suggestion off by saying, oh, this is not a part of the budget or something like that. There are many producers like that, actually. But yeah, there are few, not too many.
Yeah, matlab it's not like a role assigned. I think that makes sense. Sorry. Yeah, it's not a role assigned, but it's a great thing when you are able to have a person on board who's also creative and at the same time can handle logistics. Yeah.
So I want to know, what is it that, you know, an LP does? Because when I came onto the sets, there were like so many categories of people. There were so many people handling different departments. So what does an LP really do?
So your LP, basically what they do is that will come on board, hire a lot of hire the major part of your crew, which is your DOP, your production designer, your costume stylist, your makeup artist, the AD team. Everything from logistics in terms of locations, in terms of getting the location manager on board, or figuring the logistics between the HODs and the direction department, making sure the needs of what the director has asked for, the brief has been met, figuring the logistics part of it, from whether it is getting the location to the shoot part of it, to catering, to making sure things are within budget. Of course, that happens in tune with the line producer and the producer. But the line producer mainly controls the budget, at least for the shoot part of it. In advertising, the line producer manages the shoot. Post-production is mainly then eventually managed by a post-producer or the producer himself or herself. But yeah, the line producer mainly manages the minutest detail, basically manages each and every crew member that is on set. Is managed by the line producer, whether it's getting them on board, whether it's informing them their call times, whether it's their budgets, whether it's their payments, all of that is managed by the line producer and his team.
All right. So is there any specific skill that a producer or a director is looking for when they, you know, go to hire a specific LP? Like, is there anything specific that they're looking for in their LPs?
I would say that I think if they're good with monies and they're planning, I think that is what everyone eventually needs in a line producer. Even though I am from a line production background and now I have started producing, I do look for someone who's available, who manages things, especially in advertising. Pretty much everything is last minute. So you need someone who's responsive, who is immediate, who has a faster turnaround in terms of if you've hit a roadblock. There are times when your locations get bombed 1 day, 2 days prior to shoot, and that's when your line production and the team really comes together and helps you like really pull things out of a hat and put them together. And that's when you really need a solid line producer to get those last minute things sorted, which is very, very common in advertising. So if you have someone like that, it really helps. And I think that's what probably eventually everyone looks for, that you have someone who sorts your life out and you don't have to stress about the monies or the logistic part of it, or you don't have to stress if there's any stress that comes last minute. You know that, okay, him or her will manage it. That's what you eventually need.
So do you have any stories from when your location, you lost the location like 2 days prior to the shoot or something? Do you have any stories like that?
Not necessarily prior to the shoot, but yeah, there have been many stories. And locations are normally, they're live locations. They are all condition bound. They're not studios. There are people living around. So these things do tend to happen. But yeah, of course, you need to be very thorough. If you've not done a basic check of whether there is an event at that location a couple of hours after your shoot or not, then that is really your mistake. And that's your fault that you haven't cross-checked those minute things. But of course, if there have been times where on a shoot, like if, for example, in a society, if there is a death and there is a funeral on the day of your shoot, you really can't shoot in that society. Uh-huh. So those are a couple of things that are out of your control. But we've had situations when there are colleges or schools that would randomly say that, oh, sorry, yes, you came and recce'd it, but you can't shoot here because of such and such problem.
I also think like that. It's like this when you find like this new location, like the first time everybody's going to go shoot there, everybody knows in the crew, like people who have been working, it's going to be the first time you shoot there and everybody's going to come running because it's such a beautiful location, or it's the last time you're going to shoot there because people hate, you know, shooting people. It's not as easy to be around the shoot and live.
It's very difficult to get a new location, especially in advertising. In feature films, you see a lot of varied locations. That is because they have that kind of prep time to really go find one place, speak to the owners, get them on board, make them understand the number of people that are going to be on set and why those number of people are going to be on set. In advertising, with like 3 days and 5 days of prep, it's really difficult to go and hunt for a new location, get that location owner on board, make him understand that, okay, we're going to like fully invade your space, turn things around. It gets hectic. So that's why in advertising, there are major issues with new locations, because the time is so short that any day, like if a owner says today that, okay, yes, you can come and shoot in my supermarket, then tomorrow he'll be like, oh no, I'm going to be in a loss for so much money, and this is going to not work out for my business. And they decide overnight, and they say no, there's nothing you can do to it because it's their location, it's their they own that store. So you can't do anything but to run to the client and say that, oh, there was a problem, there was a fire in the store and something like that, and get out of it.
Yeah.
And then show them another location.
Then this is when you need the line producer to
really figure stuff out, and then you immediately have to go run recce it all over again with your DOP, your director, your first JD, and then plan things out as per that. So in such situations is when you need a really hardcore team right in place so that everything works like clockwork.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting. Nikita, you want to ask something?
I was just asking you, since I have worked for not a very long time, but every time I have worked in the team, the line producer has been a man, you know. And I remember the first time I worked with you and I was so inspired. I was like, this is the first time I'm working with a female line producer. And I was very excited, more than anything, more than being little scared. I was really excited. So I want to ask
you. Why are you scared?
No, Rinal is very strict, but in a very good way. So it keeps you on your toes. So I wanted to ask you, how did your experience as a female line producer, how has your experience as a female line producer been? Like, is it good? Is it bad? And Yeah.
Are there any advantages? Are there any disadvantages of being a woman LP?
There honestly aren't too many advantages or disadvantages. But yeah, I guess as a woman who is in control or in charge of a couple of people, not couple, actually, the majority of the set, if you're a line producer, you're responsible for your set, for your people, for your entire crew. So I think as a woman who is in charge, I think people automatically take some time to take you seriously anyways. Like if even if you're a first AD, probably that would happen. But yeah, in the sense that with a woman also, I guess it's just that it takes a little time for people to kind of understand that, okay, does she even know her stuff? And once they know that, okay, she knows her stuff, then they really take you seriously. I guess that's the only disadvantage that people take some time to take you seriously.
Basically, you have to like prove yourself to be able to get
there. Yeah, I mean, that's probably in every department. You have to prove yourself as an AD or a production designer or a line producer. But but if you're in charge fully, then it takes a lot of time because line producer is mainly, like you said, what people perceive as a man's job.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of good female line producers and they do good jobs. So that I don't think is a major factor. But the advantage part of it is that it helps you like really negotiate sometimes. And it really helps you, especially when you have a cop on set and they would come for like, they would come around to ask for their daily bribes and madam, kasakai, cha pani, stuff like that. They'll ask you. And they would ask that normally to a normal production manager who would be a male. But if I'm standing in front, then they would be like, okay, line producer ko bulao. Then I would be like, okay, I'm the line producer. Bola, kai paiche tumhala, kya chahiye? Kai piyenge, coffee, kuch khayenge? They'll be like, nahi. Then they get scared because they're like, okay, how do we ask her for money?
Yeah.
So it's funny at that time because then they're fumbling and, well, actually, technically, you're scared that, okay, police has come here and maybe they're going to like choose planes and they're going to like, you know, take up my time.
Hmm.
But instead of that, it's funny to watch them fumble, trying to figure out around a woman about how to get their bribe out. And that's when they would be like, okay, call your production manager, unko bulao, madam, aap jao, andar, tension matlo, kuch nahi.
Yeah.
So it is funny to watch them figure their way around a woman and how their things
by surprise.
So that is the funny part. Yeah, that is the funny part with, I think, police officers or actually many other people who want to get their way done. They can't. Yeah. I think they're uncomfortable around women. around women, so they can't handle women who take charge, or they can't handle women who are
pushing. Authority.
But that's a brilliant point. I think it's so amazing that instead of a disadvantage, there is this funny advantage of being
a
woman.
It's a very small part. Yeah. Like it doesn't happen every day. It's a very very small part. Like out of 10 shoots, one of them would be out, and one of them would be the case where I would be out, or they would end up meeting me for night drives. But yeah, it is a small part, but it's damn hilarious to watch them fumble.
Interesting.
Have you ever had, because you are a female line producer, in fact, since we are on that topic, have you ever faced, this is from the crew side, right? The experience that you have shared. But from your producers, have you ever faced some kind of bias behavior because you were a female LP, like they have hired you? I also feel like the moment, like you mentioned, right? We all have to prove ourselves, which is extremely right. But there is also this expectation, like we are always expected to be more than, like we just are expected perfection, right? As a female, we always have to put up a very perfect, there is no space for faults and all a lot of times. So have you ever faced any kind of bias from the producer's side?
I won't say bias, but yeah, there is a lot of expectation coming from the fact that you're a female line producer. So even if you see many times when people are hiring crews, at least in advertising, they would always say, look for a female DA because she's good at costumes. But that's so wrong. I mean, that's
true most definitely.
All. There are a lot of DAs who are boys and they do a good job at managing costumes, art and all of that itself. So there is a little bit of bias while hiring also. And along with that bias, there's also that expectation that, you know, you can juggle between too many things.
Yeah.
And you can manage this and you can manage that. And, you know, even if you have 8 hours in a day, you will do 16-hour job in that 8 hours.
Yeah.
So that expectation is there. But again, that is not really line producer specific. But yes, sometimes that bias also reflects in the way they, when some producers talk to you, they expect that you don't know much. Or you don't know how jugaad happens, or you don't know how things are supposed to function. So certain producers do have that kind of
like mansplaining bit happening.
Or little bit of thought at the back of their head that I don't know if she knows it, but let me explain it to her anyway.
Yeah.
And she may not know it, she'll figure it out, or you know, it takes
that judgment is already there, that there's like a filter around their face.
Yeah, but I guess once you work with someone for a couple of jobs, you know that he or she can manage it, and then beyond that, it's not a big problem. But the first one or two jobs is a little difficult to kind of make someone understand, or you have to constantly prove yourself with a new person. You have to constantly prove yourself, I think, as a woman, especially. Because, they do think that probably you don't know your shit. Mm. And that's certain thing. There would be certain things that, you know, a woman won't be able to do, or managing the crew, or managing your spot boys, or managing certain people, which people think are not something that a woman is supposed to do. They do have judgments on that.
Like, she will not be able to talk to them, like, in a very casual manner.
And that expectation of, like, having the conversation, the level of conversation that they expect from a woman, they think that, you know, you can't manage that. But I think, like I said, once you do one or two jobs
then they know their shit.
Then they know their shit, and then they obviously call you for a job. So I don't think that's beyond a point. It kind of blurs that judgment.
So how many ads do you do in like a month, say? Are they like, do you overlap them, or do you have like a way to, because you're a freelancer now, so like how do you manage too many?
When I was working in-house for a company, I would end up doing as many jobs as they would end up doing. So I was working for a particular director, and sometimes he would do one or two jobs in a month, or sometimes four, or sometimes barely one. So at that time, if something overlapped, yes. But because I would work in-house and I have worked as an AD, I do get involved in a lot of things, from whether it's, you know, the PPM docket, or whether it's the costume, or whether it's the art. I'm actually very involved in comparison with a lot of other line producers. And I work, because again, I have a direction background, I work as an AD only along with them. For me, it has always been very difficult to manage like three or four jobs, which I know a lot of line producers shoot today. Then after 3 days, they shoot something else.
Yeah.
They shoot something tomorrow for that matter, and then do another recce the next day for another job. So I know a lot of people do that and they manage. I don't know how. But for me, it has always been that I need to at least do one job properly and then move on to the next. That's how I've been for the last couple of years. But it has happened in the past where some jobs have gotten postponed or overlapped, or maybe if some prep has not been too heavy, then I have taken up two jobs simultaneously. But that is something that I'm not too comfortable with.
I think it's easier when you are maybe like, if the same production house is doing the same, like, you know, if you're on two jobs in the same production house with the same team, I think it's still manageable.
That's fine. Yeah, that's still manageable because you're working with the same team and you're working in the same office. For me, I'm used to going to the office and working from the office along with the producer and the direction department, and I'm comfortable with that. That's how I have learned, and that's how I like to work. When you have to work, when you're sitting in one production house and you have to figure out something that's on fire in some other production house, I am normally, I like to avoid that situation. But yes, of course, if there is something that's overlapping and then there's a small job here and then the next job is a longer job. So jobs have overlapped, but not, I don't do like 10 jobs in a month or anything like that. I don't take that kind of... because I like to be involved. And yeah. with my level of involvement, I won't be able to engage.
No, but that's a good thing also. Then you are very, like we are talking about creative side and all also. It makes sense yeah. then, you know, then you get to be yeah. creatively involved in one job and you're much more clearer in your head about that job. Then mix it yeah. all together. So the next thing I wanted to ask you, since the fact that you don't even juggle, right? A lot of us work exceptionally long hours.
Yeah.
What is your perspective about mental health in the industry? An overview of what do you think about it? And then we can go into it.
See, the thing is that, you know, everyone now, actually for the last couple of years, are more yeah. aware, and everyone knows the importance of mental health and the importance of the pressures and the effect these kind of hours and timelines that have on our mental health. Everyone is aware of that. But again, the problem is that there is a systemic issue mm-hmm. with how people have been functioning for all these years, and that has kind of trickled down into this pressure situation that is always there, that you need everything right now. You need, even this WhatsApp generation
yeah.
kind of thing has, I mean, when we started off, there was no WhatsApp. So obviously things wouldn't happen like this.
Yeah.
They would happen a little slow, but they would still happen in pretty much the same timelines, maybe a day or two more. So everyone is expected to respond immediately. If a response doesn't come in half an hour or 1 hour, people assume that it's late, it's delayed. Yeah. So all these pressures together are something that that starts from the top, and it mainly also starts with the fact that there's so much competition in the market that tomorrow, if you want to be a director, you will agree to do a job in 10 lakhs or 20 lakhs, whereas that same script, if it goes yeah. to a, yeah. you know,
a bigger director
or a mid-range director for that matter, will not agree to do a job for a 10 lakh and will probably say that he needs 10 days to do the job, and you want to make your reels, so you mm-hmm. will be okay to do that job in 10 lakhs, and you will be okay to deliver that film in 3 days because you are hungry to work and you yeah. want to build a reel for yourself, and you'll be okay to do that in 3 days. But if you, while you agree to 3 days, you also at the same time end up agreeing and end up accepting that your team is going to be under that yeah. kind of pressure.
Yeah.
You are going to be under that kind of pressure. Your producer, your team, your post team, everybody will be under that pressure to deliver immediately. And that's where your yeah. unending work hours come into play, where you're eventually working for 14 hours, 16 hours, literally sleeping for 3 hours, coming back to work.
Yeah.
And even with Corona or not, things are pretty much the same. You're still yeah. working at the same timelines. In fact, you're probably working more.
It's like they're crossing some kind of like boundary, you know, that they're entering a yeah. space that you just feel like, dude, this is not your space. You need to stay away. You can't be controlling my sleep now. Like, that's just too yeah. much involvement in my life.
I mean, I agree. So, I think everyone is eventually guilty. I'm sure even yeah. I'm guilty of this, that we know that... when we talk to our friends, we're like, oh, mental health, and we yeah. need to get therapy, and we need to see a psychologist. But when we're mm-hmm. actually working, how many of us do actually understand, appreciate space, time? Like, mm-hmm. I'm guilty of, I send messages at night. Like, even if it's like 11 or 12 in the night, I think of something, I send a message.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm not expecting a response at 12 o'clock. I tell my team members that yeah. I'm just messaging you because I will forget in the morning.
Yeah.
So ignore my message till next morning. Yeah. So, but that's something I do consciously, that, but even though in spite of that, I still feel that messaging someone at 11, 12 in the night is not ethical, but I do it because I know I may forget the next day.
Yeah.
So,
the fact that you know that there doesn't have to be a response, whereas most of the people actually expect a response as well at that hour.
It is, and most of it is because of competition. It's because yeah. of client demands, and because everything has to go. Like, there are masters that for the films that go at 2 a.m, saying that, okay, it has to go on air tomorrow, and it has to go on air in 2 days, and we need 2 days to put everything yeah. on air and all of that. But things don't go on air then.
Yeah.
They just tell you they need it and they don't need it.
Yeah.
So clients, production houses, agencies, everyone together need to kind of come together to address the situation. Just you and me saying that, we are not going to do this and we're not going to work at random hours is not going to help. A production house would probably say that, or a director who's established, who's senior, would say that, okay, I don't work beyond 9 o'clock, and that would be acceptable to certain agencies and clients. But not everyone can say that. Not everyone has that kind of clout, and not everyone has that kind of real to kind of power to push back and say that, sorry, I can't give you this right now.
It's weird how like if somebody hears the word no, it's like I have never said no to a director. And this one time I actually got really flipped and I was like, listen, dude, I'm not a machine. Like, and I was just like, thank God I said that for once in my life. I have never done that. Because that's where you push back, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, it's actually, in this industry, it's very difficult. And I think people are not used to listening to a no. Yeah. So if someone says that, can you do this? And, or we need this done, is what happen. What is the situation always? They'll always say that director wants such and such thing. And if they say that, okay, it's not possible. The first reaction is always, why not?
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, fine, we understand. It's always, why not? Of course, in certain things, it's something that's better for the film, and which is why a certain wall color needs to be painted in another color, or something else needs to happen. Sometimes you don't have the time to do it because you're shooting the next day, so certain changes can't happen.
Yeah.
But the first reaction is always, why not? Till you don't explain it to that person that, okay, listen, this wall needs to be painted all over from like black to white. That's when you can do a lighter color, and this will take these many number of hours to dry. That's when I can do. Still, you don't explain it to the producer or the director, they will not accept that answer. So that is there. And
I always feel that.
I hope so. I hope so. Again, the problem here is competition and markets. I mean, everyone is trying in their own way a little to like, you know, push back and say that, you know, if, okay, you've not sent us the super, sorry, bye, we packed up. And everyone does push back at some level. But, you know, if you push back 10 times and then the 11th time when you know that the master has to go the next day, then eventually you end up sitting up till 2 in the night to figure things. The super will come, your director will approve, this will go, agency will give some changes, all of that. Ab tak master jata hai, tab tak 3-4 subah ke baj jate hai. So, irrespective, that still happens. But the rest of it's the actually, time, you manage to push back.
And I think, like, if we have to talk about a solution, there is none, because we are in such a field where there are too many people involved in one thing. Like, we are all collaborators. So, everybody, like, it, one thing has to go from one person to another, to the third, to the fourth. So, you know, all of that, it's very time-consuming. And I think it all trickles down to the people. Like
yeah, and when so many people are available and up and waiting for this particular file or film or something like that, it's very difficult for one person amongst all of these
backup.
To be like,
yeah,
sorry,
right.
No, I'm not available, you know. Yeah. It's too difficult. It's not something that goes well.
I think that with that environment, what happens, Jinal, is also that how you treat these people. Because the treatment is very important. I've worked with different types of people, right? We all have. The problem is not the hard work or the long hours sometimes. The problem is how you're treated within that long hour as well. Are you treated that it's your freedom and it's not something that you're forced to do, but you want to do? Like Sadhgi had mentioned a while back that how when directors are nice, they know how to get the work done. You don't have to be rude to get your work done. The moment you're rude, the other person will always give lesser than 100% because you have not spoken to that person properly. So I think it's that's how you treat the people around you, because the moment you treat them nicely, they'll also enjoy, and adds a such small timeline. You'll be like, okay, I can do this for a week and then rest, you know.
Yeah,
that's also something that we have the option of. So I think it's also being nice, because I feel like a lot of people take us for granted and then they're rude, and then you're just like, what the fuck? I'm working long hours also. I'm listening to your shit also. Above that, I have to do this also. You know, it's a pile on that.
Yeah, it helps.
Now that you're saying,
working.
Like this entire discussion, even though we come from a very creative industry, it sounds like that corporate rant that we always Like, usually it's the corporate people who speak about these things, right? But here we are, as in advertising, filmmaking, it's very similar.
But so actually, creatives are always taken for granted, na? Creatives and artists are always taken for granted. And the expectation from them is always much, much, much more than a person who's doing a logistical job in a corporate office. So, I mean, that's, and the good part amongst all this rant, the good part is that in an advertising production house, you do have some production houses at least. Yeah. You do have the time to take a breather and chill, relax. And in this stressful environment, like Nikita said, if you have someone who's like sitting, chilling, faffing with you, laughing with you, and at that time to do that stressful job, whether you're working for 12 hours or 14 hours, but if that atmosphere is fun and lively and, you know, even though there's work stress, but there's not stress that is pinned all upon one person or those two people, then it's easier and it's more fun to do that job rather than thinking that, oh shit, it's all upon me to deliver this product. Rather than if everyone is sitting together and working together, it really helps. And then you don't feel and you don't question yourself that, okay, why?
True. So moving on, one of our last questions, which is also a signature question, is that, can you share one of your wildest fuck up from your sets? Like, you know, you've spent so many years now, I'm pretty sure you've had your own sets. Fuck ups. So do you have any one that you really want to share?
You know, honestly, without being pompous, I don't remember. I don't
remember our wildest fuck up.
I don't want to remember mine. Like, I don't want to even speak about it. I think Nikita and I did this exercise where we went through our fuck ups and Nikita said hers. I was like, mujhe nahi batana apna.
You know, honestly, wildest fuck up, I'm sure I must have made some mistake when I was working as an AD, which I can't recall because it was too many years ago. But I think as in production, the only thing that I probably remember is that I was a production manager. So I would like to explain myself. I was a production manager and I wasn't the line producer. And I just started, I was kind of like a production assistant. So the line producer was in charge of the catering because he was speaking to certain people. And then we were supposed, as usual, we were supposed to, a line producer and production manager normally sit together before shoot. Okay, ye ho gaya, you know, with a checklist and all of that. On that particular job, things were so hectic. And this particular line producer would just run away. Haan ho gaya, okay. He would just run away. It was difficult to catch hold of him. So, and on this job, he had asked me to get in touch with catering and all of that. I was the production manager then. And I had gotten in touch with whatever names, numbers he gave me. We didn't end up sitting together before shoot. On the day of the shoot, and I asked him, okay, I've ordered A catering. What about B catering? What am I like coming? He's like, I didn't call for it. Didn't you call for it? I was like, no, I didn't call for it. So we had not ordered food for the B crew on the day of the shoot. Thankfully, we realized this at 9 in the morning. Okay. And eventually we managed, called up our caterer and said that, listen, we need this much amount of food and we need it at this time. Can you please make it? He said, I will try. I will be late, but I will deliver the food. So even though it was a fuck up, we managed to like cover it up. But I would honestly like not fully take onus for it. I would say that it's a collective.
Yeah, it's like a miscommunication because of the pressure.
But we managed to salvage it.
Thank you so much. Is there anything you would like to share with our listeners? Then please feel free. Maybe some advice or anything that you would like to say.
Advice would only be that I think only once you start working in the industry, whether even if you start as a costume assistant or an assistant director or anything, just start somewhere for you to understand who does what, to get an idea of what is it that you're interested in. Till you don't get your hands dirty on a couple of jobs, you're not going to know whether your interest lies in production or whether it lies in direction or whether you want to be a costume stylist or whether you want to be a set dresser, any of that. You just have to start somewhere, start small. And unfortunately in our industry, people don't pay people for just starting somewhere and learning. So there are some people who do.
Yeah.
Thank God for those people. But you can start. There always, our industry always has people who are who are willing to take people who don't charge money. So don't charge money for one or two jobs and work wherever you want to work. And get some experience and then decide for yourself what is it that you're more inclined towards.
Thank you so much, Rinal. This was really nice. Thank you.
Same here. I had a lot of fun. Thank you for talking to me.
That's this week's episode of Wild Tapes. We'd like to thank our amazing team. Our logo and artwork is created by Vikas Singh and the incredible music is by Devraj Mamu.
Don't forget to join us next week for another episode. You can also follow us on Instagram and write to us at takeswildtapes@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.